From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, everybody. I am Seth Kaiser with The Athletic, and I am here with the, as always, incomparable, unmatched, often imitated, but never duplicated, Ryan Tracy of RGR Football and Rogue Analytics, and Chris Clark with Chiefs Digest and the Locked On Chiefs website. How you doing, fellas?
I'm doing great. I think I'm doing a lot better than Ryan, because Ryan kind of sounds like crud right now, but that's beside the point.
I'm a little bit diseased today. Please excuse me.
You sound great, if that's any...
Thanks.
Yeah. Chris, does Ryan know I'm lying?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, Seth, you lie very well.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it's...
You laugh at that, but I have to say, that's not quite as funny as what the Broncos did today.
Yes!
On Wednesday, I guess I should say, since this is Thursday's show.
Protect the illusion, Chris. Anyway, so, yes, the Broncos. So, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, here's what I suppose I should set the stage. If you're listening to the show, you obviously know this. But the Denver Broncos traded what's being reported to be a fourth-round pick for former Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco. This is a great move for John Elway, right, Chris? But he's so tall.
No, I honestly cannot think of a worse move for the Broncos. Well, actually, I could probably think of a couple. But besides that,
Marcus Russell is available. I'm just saying.
That's true. You have a good point. But Jamarcus Russell wouldn't cost them $20 million a year.
He wouldn't. He could be had for the vet minimum. He wouldn't cost him a fourth-round pick.
Well, and, you know, I mean, maybe you can get a discount and say that he's 1.5 players considering, you know, his size. But that's
sure,
the point.
Sure. That, ooh, that's mean. Too far, Chris. Wow.
Yeah, probably. And I have no room to talk, and that's fine.
Hey, me neither. None of us do. We're men who are over the age of 30. That's how it is.
There you go. At least I'm over 6 foot tall, so it doesn't. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Whoa. Hey, I don't have a good rebuttal, so I'm just going to keep saying whoa.
Okay.
But I mean,
here's what I have to say about Flacco real quick.
I would love to hear it.
Okay, so Flacco, to me, is a horrible situation for Denver in what they're going to be doing, because what you're looking at now is Flacco is, what, $18.9 million, I think, against the cap in 2019, and they're going to have another $7 million dedicated to the cap in Case Keenum when they cut him. So you're talking close to $25 million that is basically going to get you Case Keenum-like numbers from last year.
Yeah. Let's try to break this down into something maybe not even remotely defensible. Ryan, we won't in 30 words or less, so you don't pass out. Is there any defensible reason to make this trade?
Defensible? No.
What Panic? Do you think the reason? What do you think the reason is?
You got him for a fourth round pick. I will say that's defensible. I mean, that's think he's a starting QB, that's cheap. I don't agree with the contract that you're going to be paying him, but
that's a whole nother ball of wax that I actually want to touch on in a second. If you think he's a starting QB, but here, hang on, Ryan, what do you think John Elway's reason for this is? Okay, fine. Not defensible. What's the reasoning here?
Here's the thing. John Elway has proven that he is not capable of scouting rookie draftable quarterbacks. So he's got to stay with veterans. It's the only thing he's been successful at. And after the Keenum debacle, that's arguable.
That's even up for grabs. Yeah.
I have to ask you this, though. So since we have this issue of John Elway can't scout QBs, there's a lot of people out there that are still saying that they're still going to draft a QB early. So they could go take a Drew Lock in the first round after trading for Flacco and spending $25 million on Flacco and Keenum combined in 2019.
And then then just so they can draft Flacco 2.0.
Well, and ask Lamar Jackson how that worked out for him being the mentor.
Yeah, exactly. Look,
don't get it. I really don't.
Here's the long and short of it. And this is where it becomes hilarious. And you guys tell me, spot the lie here. The only good thing John Elway has done as a GM with regards to quarterback was be someone that Peyton Manning looked up to as a child.
You lost me at good in John Elway. So,
but that's here's the deal. He was able to get Peyton Manning because Scott Pioli apparently was a tool, and Manning didn't even want anything to do with the Chiefs, which is what has come out since then. But whatever, Manning worshipped John Elway the player, and he had a relationship with Manning's agent, and so Manning signs with the Broncos. Hey, that worked out awesome for them. Brought in free agents because of it, all that stuff. Since then, he has drafted Osweiler in the second round, Paxton Lynch in the first round. Oh my God, it's so funny.
While trading up in front of the Chiefs that
it's
year.
So funny.
Don't quit. Don't quit.
And then he went and he paid Case Keenum. And look, of the three quarterbacks, Case Keenum is the best of those three. And it's not even close. But he went
and here's the bigger thing.
He paid him starter money.
Right, exactly. So you have him on the books. I don't think you're going to get anything in trade for him, but here's the thing, bringing in Flacco, maybe the worst part of your offensive unit last year was your offensive line, right. And you lost your two best guys to IR of all things. So you have a bottom five offensive line unit in this league, and you haven't done anything to bolster that yet, and Joe Flacco's a statue.
Right.
Well, and their left tackle is a joke. Their left tackle is not good.
There's not a lot of hope on the horizon.
Let's be subtle.
Yeah, well, and you look at I was reading an article today about Ronald Leary, and they're talking that he may be a cap casualty, and maybe he hasn't been great in Denver, but he's probably one of their best offensive linemen, which
he was
obviously not saying
he
much.
He was the big signing that was going to fix everything for sure,
right?
Mm. And here's the interesting thing: Keenum is not a great quarterback, or even that good of one, but he's not a bad quarterback. Here's the interesting thing with Keenum. And you saw this with Kirk Cousins this year in Minnesota. Now I'm going to tie all this together, right? Keenum is not great at a lot of things, but he's above average at dealing with pressure and still moving around the pocket. Now he makes stupid throws. His accuracy is spotty and all that, but he's pretty good at moving around the pocket and dealing with pressure. And so what you saw with Kirk Cousins this year is Kirk Cousins is a really good thrower and is really accurate, but he's not very good at dealing with pressure. And you saw how much worse he made Minnesota's offensive line. Look, what does Denver think is going to happen with Flacco, who doesn't deal with pressure well?
They think he's going to be Denver's version of Big Ben because he's big and he can stay tall in the pocket. I don't know.
He is tall. He's definitely tall.
I don't have a good answer for that. What I will say, though, is, how much different does the Denver season go if he hits Demaryius Thomas against the Chiefs?
I don't think it goes that different. I think it broke them for sure, but they were always going to get broken. I really believe that. I really do. And because I like Case Keenum, I think he's a gamer, but I don't think it ultimately changes anything. That's a flawed roster. It really is.
And I do agree.
And it's a terrible coach team. I mean, that's what was.
I know we got to take a quick break, but I have to ask both of your opinions on this real quick. It also came out in the news on, I believe, Tuesday, that Demaryius Thomas got cut by the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest if it's a make it or approve it type deal?
No.
And he's healthy?
Nah. Pass.
You don't think he'd be a better third option than what they have?
Yeah.
Marginal.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I just haven't seen much from him. And then he got hurt. I'm pretty fine with what the group the Chiefs have to work with. Thomas is just not a guy that's ever gotten me real fired up.
I agree with that. I just think
I would take it.
I just think it's better than Robinson as your third guy because Robinson dropped too many big passes last year.
Okay. And I could see that, but you're still wrong. So I'm going to, I'm just waiting for one of these days when Chris climbs through my computer screen and hits me when I do something like that. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll see if I'm still with you all after that.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
All right, I want to shift as much fun as it is laughing at the Broncos, which I just want to take 10 seconds and I'm going to paint a word picture for you guys. In a year or two, the quarterbacks in the AFC West will be, in all likelihood, Patrick Mahomes, TBD, TBD, and TBD. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You have any thoughts on whether it could be Kyler Murray in Oakland or Denver?
There's no way John Elway takes Kyler Murray. No way. I mean, this would be like, either. You know, let's say all I've ever done is date, you know, blonde chicks, right?
Easy now.
You know what? I'm going to stop this analogy right now. I'm going to stop this. Hey, look, all I'm saying is he has a type. And they're not short, athletic quarterbacks.
But there's also the thought that...
Ryan, I'm so glad you're sick right now, because there's so many. I can see your brain exploding on my monitor. Just like... Anyway, what's that, Chris?
There's also a lot of questions whether or not John Elway should be running their draft room. His drafting has been horrible.
He shouldn't.
While he's been in Denver. He had one good year, and that was when he drafted. That's when he had Gary Kubiak, and Kubiak's gone, if I remember correctly.
Yes, Kubiak helped him a great deal. I don't think John Elway should be running an NFL franchise. He's shown that he should not. Former players do not always make good GMs or coaches, or even most don't even, because it's two very different things.
By the way, I have to give a hat tip to Matt Derrick. I don't know if you guys saw it, but once the John Elway trading for Joe Flacco news came out, he tweeted something about the extent of John Elway also had, this reminds me of when John Elway had a chance of buying a 10% stake in the Broncos that would be worth $265 million for $10 million. And instead he invested $15 million and it went to a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, I know. Poor John. Well, not poor John. He's had a pretty charmed life, but it's just rough. But I just, when you look across the AFC West, you've got the Chiefs who are sitting pretty. And right now the Chargers are sitting pretty because I think Rivers has a few years left. Although every year it's like, how much more arm strength can he lose and still be effective? And we'll see next year, I guess. But really, Derek Carr is clearly not the answer. Denver looks completely lost at the helm. And the Chargers haven't done anything to address life after Rivers, which is coming sooner rather than later. For once, the Chiefs are not the problem. But since I mentioned the Chiefs, did you guys happen to see the big news for Mr. Clark Hunt?
I did not.
No? Ooh, well, I'm happy to. So, Mr. Andrew Beaton, who I actually don't know, he announced that Roger Goodell has sent a memo to clubs announcing two changes on major committees. The Finance Committee, previously chaired by the late Bob McNair. Now, you remember Bob McNair, before he passed, had a ton of influence on the league.
Oh, yeah.
A ton. And part of that was because he headed the Finance Committee, will now be led by Kansas City Chiefs owner, Clark Hunt. Joel Glazer will now chair the International Committee, which had been headed by Hunt. Now, this is clearly a move of Hunt's choosing. So then Amy Trask afterwards, who I think most people know who Amy Trask is. You know, she worked with the NFL for years and years and years. Really great follow-up.
She's been on the podcast before.
Yeah, well, I totally knew that as a partner.
It's episode 480,
folks. Yeah, and Amy's wonderful. I mean, she's so knowledgeable, and she always says hi to people. It's very nice. It's one of my favorite things on Twitter. She always follows up every tweet with, and hi. And it's very nice. I really enjoy it. So she tweeted this. During my decades in the NFL, the Finance Committee was the most significant and powerful league committee, and I am told it still is. Powerful enough to heal Ryan Tracy. No, she didn't say that. She said, and then she said this, I worked with Chiefs Clark Hunt on many league matters. I believe he is a phenomenal choice to be its chairman. What are your thoughts on all this, Chris?
I think it's fantastic for Kansas City. I you know, you look at what it could mean in the future. McNair was huge when it came to the league in the past. And with him gone and Clark Hunt stepping to the forefront, I think that's great. And also, I have to wonder if, since he won't be the international guy anymore, if Kansas City will stop playing or slow down on international games in the future.
Oh, I like where you're going with that. And I will say, folks, our conversation with Amy Trask is from almost exactly a year ago on January 31st of 2018, if you want to go back and check that out. But I agree. Less pushing the agenda about the international game may give the Chiefs a little bit of break on this Mexico debacle. We'll see how that turns out next season, as well as seeing our friends abroad.
At least they're not giving up a home game. I mean, that's a bit, that's big.
True. That is. And I definitely, I like the idea. I like this on two fronts. One, I think from everything I know about Clark Hunt, and Clark Hunt's popularity with Chiefs fans depends on who you talk to, right? It varies. Based on the people I've talked to, I'm told that Clark Hunt is not just some trust fund baby type kid or what, you know what I mean? Like where, you know, his dad was a great man and he's kind of bootstrapped. Everything I've heard about Hunt is that he's extremely smart. He made his bones in the business world by on his own. Obviously, yes, he had the name, but he went by himself and he achieved success on his own merits too. That's a big deal. Everything I know about him is that he's sharp, is that he's forward thinking. And so I like this for the Chiefs. Now, do I think he'll necessarily try to swing things for the Chiefs? Maybe a little. I don't think he'll be as blatant about it as some of the more like kind of good old boys network was.
Jerry.
Yeah, or Jerry, for sure. But here's my biggest thing. I don't know how much this benefits the Chiefs. Maybe it does a little, maybe it doesn't. But I think it benefits the NFL. As someone who has had to deal with the NFL a little more over the last couple of years as I've become more and more respectable, the NFL needs new voices.
Well, I tell you where I think it will help them, though, is they've made a push in trying to promote the city for the draft. Yes. And for other, obviously, the Super Bowl eventually. I think while maybe he's not going to use his influence unduly, I think it will give it a bigger voice.
That's definitely a really good point. The draft and eventually maybe the Super Bowl. Now, the Super Bowl, obviously, until they figure out something. Well, maybe, you know, they had it in New York, so you never know. But an outdoor Super Bowl.
I have a really hard time believing they're going to do it someplace where.
Yeah.
But remember how that snow was dealt with the Colts game. The system they have in place to keep that field from freezing, I think, is probably leading
it
edge.
It did work pretty well.
No, and that was fantastic. I was there at the Colts game, and it was crazy to look at the field and see how clear it was. So, no, I completely agree on that.
There are mounds of snow surrounding it.
The one thing I do have to say about the draft is how cool would it be for all three of us to meet up at the NFL draft?
That would be so much fun after eating so much.
We'll throw that out there.
Going into a meat coma from Joe's and then going to the draft. That would all be amazing. But I think that could definitely benefit the Chiefs in those ways. I think it's great for visibility for them, but I think it's even better for the NFL. And now it's not like Clark Hunt is like some 30-year-old wunderkind or something, but for an NFL owner, he's a young dude.
I think he has the chin to pull off the beard though.
He does. I often thought that when I was standing there. I was standing there listening to him and I had my recorder in his face. I was like, I have my recorder in the face of a billionaire. This is weird. He definitely could pull off a beard. I actually thought that, which it's bizarre that we think that much alike. Honestly, it's a little frightening.
Stop it.
I do think it's going to be good for the NFL to get some maybe new voices in there to try to figure out how to deal with the NFL, even though it's obviously the most popular league in America, it's not even close. They keep dealing with PR issues, some of them of their own making. And maybe having a new voice, maybe a little sharper voice like Clark Hunt, rather than kind of a good old boy network, that might do them some good. So I'm excited for that. All right, we got to take one more break. And yeah, and then maybe Ryan can go home and take a nap.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
All right. We've covered the Broncos being hilarious. We've covered the fact that, the Chiefs are the only team with a quarterback set up. I want to talk to you guys about Dee Ford.
Okay.
What do you guys think about Dee Ford?
I still wouldn't pay him long-term money. I did have a question for you, Seth, that we need to cover before we sign off. So, but I don't think they need to pay him long-term money. If you want to give him the franchise tag this year, that's fine. But I do think there are going to be cuts elsewhere to make that viable Kansas City this year.
And I keep coming back to that Dee Ford is best when he's with Justin Houston. And if that means...
Yep.
In order to keep both of them, that you have to do a deal with Ford that allows you to keep his cap number down this season and next season, I think maybe that's worth the risk, especially given what we've seen from the teams, over the last few years, that they're able to put in outs for themselves after season two or three.
That's an interesting theory. I kind of like that. I got to tell you, Ryan, you know, now that I think about it, I was going to dedicate so much more time to this and I realized that I completely screwed up. But now I'm going to just move on from that. And Ryan, you bring that up and I would have fought you tooth and nail on that prior to writing the article that just went up on The Athletic, where I reviewed a ton of D Ford's film, charting his wins, losses, all that stuff. You know, he was solid this year. He was, I would even say very good. He wasn't elite. He wasn't, you know, Justin Houston at his peak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure he won as consistently as Justin Houston did this year. But the thing with Ford, even though his win percentage was around 16, 17%, which is good, but not elite. The thing with Ford, when he wins quick. And so it's much more likely to turn into a pressure hit or sack. Whereas a guy like Houston that might win more frequently, but it's just a fraction of a second slower, little less likely to generate that same amount of pressure.
Well, and this is why I say in this defense, where the Leo's going to be uncovered a lot of the time, he's going to be playing to the weak side. I think it's something that could play into D Ford's strengths.
I definitely agree.
Big question.
And so it'd be interesting.
The question I have to ask you both, though, can Justin Houston play that other side? And is he going to be good enough to play that other side to continue to pay him? Obviously, you would want to restructure him, but is he going to be good enough to play the other side with, I mean, he is going to be undersized for that position.
You're talking the strong side defensive end?
I see you're talking about the five.
Yep.
I think Houston could play that easily. I think he'd be much more likely to be rotated between there and then occasionally playing the Sam linebacker spot. Now, you know, keeping in mind that Spags defense, much like every other defense, is going to be in their traditional 43, 25% of the time?
Yep.
Maybe.
Right.
And so...
Well, and I talked about that on this week's video. Do you guys feel that that's justifiable if he's really only in that pass rush role on second and third down?
It wouldn't bother me that much because given the role that they currently had him in, it was practically that way anyway. It depends on
what he's costing. I mean, if you can get him to restructure and he's not costing more than $10 million a year, then maybe, but that's going to take some hefty restructuring.
I don't think that's financially possible. To do,
no, and I agree with
to do
you.
That level of it. And so, yeah. I mean, I understand the concern with second and third down. I think that's a legit concern. However, I would say that I wouldn't just say that he'd never be rushing the passer on first down. Because while there are coverage responsibilities, and I think you pointed that out well, there's a lot of coverage responsibilities there. I think that you can also, if you're going to be aggressive with blitzing, that you can blitz that guy too. Another underrated aspect of all this, I personally, after reviewing Ford's film, did you guys know he played off the ball probably a half dozen times or so a game this last year? Because I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I didn't notice. But yeah, when tight ends would rotate to the other side of the defense, that kind of stuff, depending on their alignment, Ford would end up playing what could be called almost identical to a Sam linebacker role, where he would generally, it was almost never in man, except occasionally on some running backs out of the backfield. So that was a little different because he wasn't covering tight ends directly.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously he wasn't on the strong side, but he would drop back into zone. And you know what? Ford definitely is a fish out of water in coverage because he doesn't do it hardly ever, but his feet are fast. And right. I think people could be wrong when they think that maybe, oh, Houston's a Sam and Ford is the Leo all the time. I think that you could end up with downs where Ford plays more in the Sam role and Houston's the Leo. And I think that's the good thing is they both do have some versatility to them.
That's true. And if you're caught in a situation in the base defense, maybe that's perfectly acceptable because they've flip-flopped, you know, D's whole career.
Right.
I don't think it's an advantage physically to be on one side or the other.
Right.
But certainly when you go to that nickel, they're going to be widened out in the classic four-man front. Even wider than we've seen them when Bob Sutton's gone to the four-man front. So I feel like they're both going to be just fine rushing the passer from that set.
Right. And I definitely agree that Ford has been at his best throughout his career with Houston. And so that's a really good point. So Chris, let me ask you, let's say the Chiefs, and we got to wrap up here shortly, but let's say the Chiefs, we'll close with this. Cause you know, just spoiler alert, Chris, one of my mailbag questions for this week for the Locked On Chiefs mailbag.
Why do I hate D Ford? Yeah, I know.
Why does Chris hate D Ford? I can't wait for you to hear my answer to that one. It's cause he's a bad person. No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that. Chris,
I wouldn't put it past you.
Let's say the Chiefs are able to sign Ford to a quote unquote long-term deal, but it's one that gives them a okay but not great out after 2 years and a reasonable out after 3 years? Would you do that in order to keep the band together?
I still think you have to make cuts elsewhere then. And I don't know. I don't see how you can pay Houston and Barry what you're going to be paying them this year.
Maybe you don't pay Barry.
Hush your mouth.
I mean, you only save $1.5 million. I mean, I guess you could save a little bit more if you do a June 1st cut, but
5.5 if it's a June 1st cut, I believe.
Yeah. But you're not saving that much with Barry. You're saving a ton of money with Houston. Honestly, I just don't know. It's an interesting question, and I just think you have other contracts that you need to be worried about that are going to be coming up. And I personally would not give D4 the long-term contract because, like I said, he hasn't been healthy for more than one season. And yes, he's had good times at times, but he's also been injured regularly. And if you look at Kansas City's past, they haven't done that well with giving out big contracts or have dealt with injuries after they get the new contract. So I just don't know that I really feel comfortable giving him that contract. I mean, if you can drop Houston's number down and maybe offset forward a little bit and get him down to $10 million a year with the long-term deal, maybe. But I just don't see how he's going to take – I'm talking about first-year number.
Oh, well, first-year number, yeah, $10 million's easy. Man, I thought you meant $10 million. I thought you meant every year of his contract. I was like, man, unless Ford really loves him some barbecue.
No, but that's my point. I don't know what you're going to be able to get him down to that's a reasonable contract, because to me, he's going to want Justin Houston type money. And that to me is not, he's not worth that.
And that'll be the rub right there. So you heard it here first, folks. That's all the time we have for today. Chris does indeed hate Chris Jones, and not only Chris Jones, but his entire family too. It's a terrible, terrible
thing. Chris Jones?
Dang it, did I say Chris Jones?
Why are you bringing up Chris Jones? Me and Chris Jones are friends on Twitter. Don't go there. I love you, Chris.
Oh, oh, that's so sweet.
And I mean that in the best possible way. Chris, you're awesome.
You both so puzzled immediately. Chris Jones? All right. Well, with that, wonderful professional.
I did have a question for you, Seth.
Oh, man, I was hoping to get out of here without it. What is it?
Yeah, I know you were, but I have to ask the question anyway. The new linebacker coach, the new supposed linebacker coach that we don't know about, House.
Yeah.
What did you think about that situation?
I think it was inevitable as soon as the news came out what happened, that he was going to end up in Kansas City. It's business, and colleges can't afford that kind of publicity. And so I think what happened was Kentucky was going to negotiate the buyout. They thought, Clark Hunt can afford it. And I think Clark Hunt is a businessman. And so I think he told him to kick rocks. And so, which is really funny that comes down over what was probably the total of like $75,000.
Wow, it's $150,000.
Because they're negotiating it. I doubt they're negotiating it down to nothing. So I did a meet in the middle there. Man, was that too snarky? I'm sorry, Chris. That was a snarky answer. All right.
Oh, no, I'm used to snarky on Twitter, so no big deal.
Yeah, well, that's only because you hate Dee Ford and apparently Chris Jones. So. Yeah. That's all the time we have today. As usual, we've gone over. Thanks for listening, guys. Be sure to check out all our stuff that I talked about at the beginning of the hour. We will be joining you guys soon. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for the first episode of the Locked On Chiefs mailbag edition, where I rapid fire answer about 100 million questions. It'll be fun. Thanks for joining us, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.